Well, we are. We're soaking up that sun. Too much. Hot. Broadcasting live from the NovaCare Complex for 94 WIP's Champ Cam. It's driven by Forest River RV by Camping World. RV sales, service, parts, and accessories. Hugh, let's get to our next guest in studio. So we had Reed Blankenship and Jalex Hunt. They were great. And now we have Devin Kenny, who was watching practice today. He's been watching a lot of these. Devin, how you doing today?
Scoop.
I'm not like Vic Fangio. I cannot simply say that heat is a mindset. Very, very warm out there today, but otherwise doing well, guys.
Yes, it was warm. Vic said it's a mindset. Now, before we get to the Eagles stuff, what did you make of WIP management's decision, led by Rod Lakin, who was in blue jeans today, which is quite a choice.
Forever in blue jeans.
To postpone Joe versus Jack. Do you think it was the right call?
So, as someone who was supposed to be sideline reporting along with Buzz on that tennis match, I can't lie and say that I'm not a little bit relieved, because hearing that the Eagles moved their practice today an hour earlier because of the heat, I was like, okay, so we're still going to play tennis in the noon sun on one of the hottest days
of the year?
That's
exactly what I thought, by the way.
So, because of that, yeah, I'm okay with it, but I mean, I just want to know when it's going to be now. I was all ready to go. I'm in my tennis outfit. I was ready to, you know, be a ball girl out there and watch Joe lose. But now I guess we're going to have to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, I think it gives Jack a little bit of an advantage, because apparently Jack hadn't practiced much, but now maybe he could practice more.
Well, you wouldn't know that, because all I've seen from Jack in the afternoon show is complaining. They think now this thing is rigged. They think that, you know, Rod listened to what Joe DeCamera wanted to do.
Well, they complained.
A lot of complaining already. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, I don't think it was rigged. I just think it was the decision.
I don't think it was rigged.
Yeah, the decision came down late. That's the controversial part now.
I think if Jack learns how to serve now, between now and whenever it's rescheduled to, then he could have a major advantage.
I agree. And then he has the advantage in the next one, you would think. Hugh running. I mean, that should be Jack. The tennis one's going to decide this.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Or it could all come down to basketball.
Which I think that's what we're hoping, just so we can watch those two play basketball. At least that's what I'm hoping. All right, Devin, let's get to the Eagles and what we've noticed and what you've noticed so far at training. So what's standing out to you? The big picture so far, Eagles training. Now, today was the first day with pads. Like, tell us about today and what you saw out there.
Well, I mean, like Cam Jurgens said yesterday, it doesn't really count until you have full pads on. It's not real football. So, and it's also the hottest day we've had thus far at training camp. So it was a tough day for the guys, but did start an hour earlier. What I'm seeing, and I'm not trying to skew negative here, is some of the position battles. I'm not feeling super optimistic when it comes to the one cornerback spot. Like Kelee Ringo, I know, has shown today. He had a good practice. He looked really good in one-on-ones, but still not really seeing, you know, a ton of stuff that makes me hopeful when it comes to Kelee Ringo. The safety position, Andrew Mukuba, I was excited about him. I think more excited than a lot of people when he was drafted, but he is undersized. He's already injured. Terrace Marshall has been having a really good camp on the offensive side. He left with an injury today. He got walked off the field, went to the medical tent. So I don't know. It's a little concerning. These guys seem to be dropping like flies. Devontae Smith also didn't practice again today. They're pushing these guys really hard this year, and you can sense that.
So you brought up Andrew Mukuba and the safety thing. I forget what your opinion was when it happened. Mm-hmm. What do you like now? And as we go into the summer, Elliot was saying yesterday he thinks they're going to need to go get a safety before the first game of the season. Mm-hmm. I just feel like the elephant in the room is they had Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. He was under contract for this season, and they traded him away for a guy that seems
that
like
may
a,
not even make the team.
Right, a backup at best. If they have to go get a safety, Devin, I feel like the obvious question is, why did you trade away CJGJ?
I agree. I agree with you, and I wish I had an answer for you. I wish I could say, you know, that this is why they did it. This is what makes sense. I still don't really understand it. I didn't hate the Mukuba pick. Like, I think I was more positive on it than the overall sentiment I was seeing and hearing when it came to the Mukuba pick, because he was really good. Mm-hmm. He was really good for Texas. You know, he has ties to guys who play on this team. He's just not the biggest guy, and we're seeing that. I mean, he's already injured. I don't think it's too serious, so I don't think it will sideline him for too long. That being said, clearly, you know, they're lacking depth at that position. I know people are high on Sidney Brown. I just have never been as high on Sidney Brown as it seems a lot of other people are. I don't know if he's, you know, the starting safety. So outside of Reed Blankenship, like, you don't really have a ton of depth there. I don't love moving Cooper DeJean to the safety position. I don't think that you should use someone that talented as a super utility player. Like, I think you should keep him where you know he's good, and that's nickel cornerback.
Well, Hugh, that's where he was great last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he was great. Now,
why would you mess? If it's not broke, don't fix it.
I feel it's almost like desperation if they have to do
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I was thinking this morning when you were talking about it, and I had a chance to listen to Vic Fangio talk briefly.
He's always entertaining.
Yeah, he is. And he said something that made me think about the CJGJ situation. He said a lot of times, you know, you don't see the mistakes that the guy's making the secondary because the play's on the other side, but the mistakes are being made.
And they look at everything.
Yeah, right? and they look at everything. And I think that there was a lot of times that when you talk about CJGJ, and as well as he played with the plays that we saw, there might have been times, and I'm recklessly speculating on this, but it kind of plays in. I just thought about what he said, and I kind of thought about it, mm-hmm. is that a lot of times he was taking liberties, or maybe. I don't know this for sure. I'm speculating. He was taking liberties in the defense, because how many times have we talked about, Joe, him vulturing interceptions from Quinion?
You know, CJ
Gardner Johnson.
Yeah.
So maybe that was it. And I look at this situation. I look at it like this. Okay, if Keeley is getting cooked in practice, getting cooked by two of the best receivers in the game, how many, you know, you got to look at it like, how many other receivers of that caliber are you going to see on the roster or on other teams? Probably not that many. You know, and with him being out there working against those guys, I'm suspecting that they think that the work is going to be easier when they play other teams. But to your point, the depth thing is an issue, and especially when you talk about guys being hurt and everything, you probably need to address that. But I think they want to try to give these young guys as much runway as they possibly can before they decide to make a move.
Well, and just to add to that, Vic Fangio this morning he talked a lot about Adoree Jackson, who has been doing pretty well in camp. But Fangio, you know, he always keeps it like super honest.
I love that about him.
I love it about him too, but it comes off a little like blunt. So when it came to Jackson, he was basically like, I mean, he didn't really last in Tennessee, and he didn't last in New York, and they didn't want to keep him, and now he's here, but that's how his decision. So basically saying like, well, now I guess he's my problem, and I have to figure out if this guy can figure it out while he's here. But basically ended it saying, you know, it's up to him and these players who haven't really proven themselves elsewhere but are now on our team and, you know, under my defense, and we'll see if they can get it done, and if not, well, that sucks for them. And that's what I love about Vic Fangio, but I'm always like, oh, my gosh, I hope he's
too
not
bad
listening
for you
to this right now.
Sometimes Vic reminds me of a WIP caller, just saying it like it is. Like, this guy, he's not that good.
Yeah, he's not that good. I don't know why he's on our team, but he's here. So.
Yeah, and look, he was pretty blunt last year at this time. He was like, we'll see how good this defense is, and then it became great. So, you know, he's honest. All right, Devin, before we let you go, we need your take on this, because we were debating this yesterday. And I've decided it's Hugh Douglas's worst take ever, is he is pro-dome for the new Eagle Stadium. I mean, the whole survey that went out last week. Devin, where are you on a potential new Eagle Stadium down the road? Because I don't want a roof, and I feel like even if they have a retractable roof, whenever there's bad weather, they're going to close. Like, we'll never get a snow game again. We'll never have one of those moments like Saquon the snow last year. Where do you come down?
Can I just say worst take than Hugh saying Bryce Harper is a move the bases guy or small ball, move the runners guy?
Well, there's a lot, actually. We might have to rank them all one day.
Yeah, that might be my favorite. I am anti-roof. I think something that makes football great is the elements. Football, if we wanted an indoor football team, then we could have, you know, kept the Philadelphia Soul around, because that's an arena football team.
Yeah, that's a football take there, Hugh.
I think that it takes away from the experience of why football is great. You know, it's a game that's played in the elements, whether it's sitting out here in the heat and we're all melting, or, you know, sitting out in the freezing cold snowy games in December and January. You mentioned the snow game against the Rams. I mean, that game is iconic. Some of the most iconic, memorable games in franchise history and football history happen when it's snowing, when it's foggy, when it's rainy, when it's freezing cold. So I'm very much anti-roof here.
And this is coming from the person who's on the sidelines.
Trust
as our sideline reporter during the
game. I have to experience it. So, yes, thank you. I know. I'm aware. And, look, during that snow game, was I sitting there by the end of the game like, oh, my gosh, I don't know how much longer I can take. I can't feel my hands. maybe, but I will always remember it, and it's going to be so cool to, you know, look back, and it already is cool to say, you know, I was there on the sidelines throughout the blizzard of the snow game. So
you see, Hugh, it's not that hard.
I was trying to look out for the people.
Iconic.
Man.
No, it wasn't the people.
I mean, just
he's
think
cold
about
during the pregame. Just think about Deb.
If we had a dome, you wouldn't have to wear. I mean, you look nice on the sideline. You had a nice outfit on, but just think, you could have been on the sideline in a warm, like, long sleeve T-shirt or something. Could've
well,
nice.
I can still do that in the early fall before it's freezing.
And then she could bundle up like the rest of us.
It's just different. It's cold outside.
Soft.
So. This guy's so soft. All right, Devin, we appreciate you hopping on.
Thanks, guys.
As always, we will talk soon. All right, 215-592-9490. Let's say hopping. All right, let's get back to the phone lines here. Some of the mindset of this football team entering the year and how it feels like they're just trying to pretend last year didn't happen. Do you like it, or do you want them to embrace
like
who they are? Defending champs. Dan is up on WIP. Hey, Dan.
Hey, my man. How's it going?
Hey, Dan. What's up, man?
I love it, and I'll tell you why. Because these people are not, like, dull. Like, they know, however it feels to win a Super Bowl, football's the best sport ever. Like, you can't even compare it to other stuff. I don't care what anyone says. Like, they know that they won the Super Bowl, but people that are hyper-competitive, to get to the point they've been, they need things to motivate them. So, like, A.J. Brown, like, seeing that list where it put him at five, in his head, he's probably like, yo, they're all saying I suck. Okay, I'm going to go at it harder and everything. And if you can get, like, a group mentality where all the guys are like, yeah, like, you know what? They are saying I suck. They're saying Jalen Hurts sucks on this show. That's all I hear. That can motivate you harder than anything. Like,
I don't think anyone's saying Jalen Hurts sucks, but I understand.
Well,
yeah,
they're not saying he sucks, but they're like, we're going to put him, like, out. We're
right, I get it. Yeah, like, doubting if he's elite, doubting if he's truly great. I know.
It's called an opinion.
But the guy that's at number one, he outplayed twice, mm-hmm. and then, like, the first one.
That's right.
Yeah, I had to watch it from a prison cell, but, like, the refs still took
it's
away
a lot
his
of
chance
we
to,
didn't,
like,
we
let
didn't,
him know.
We didn't need that.
I get it, but, like, you know, like, whatever they need to motivate themselves. Like, they didn't forget that they, you know, it wasn't even a competitive Super Bowl. Like, if you're not a fan of either team, you probably turn it off when it was 24-0. Like, they didn't forget that. Or, like, the whole free Pete thing that came out on like, about the shirts. These guys had the shirts made, like, 3 days.
Yeah, of course. And you know what? And Dan, there's two ways to view that. One, and Hugh brought up earlier, well, they didn't win, right? They got their asses kicked in the Super Bowl. The other way to view it, though, and Dan, good phone call. We appreciate it. The other way to view it is they did win 15 games and get back to the Super Bowl. Yeah, Kyle was...
That's
totally over the line with that one.
I see why you know people don't like you.
I couldn't.
No, hey, it was timely. It was timely.
I mean, but the facts are the facts. I mean, Kyle's drop is factual. It's just a matter of, like,
well,
that was a lie.
Well, it was like, you know, when you overshare, you know, that's a little bit of overshare.
I mean, was it oversharing?
Yeah, we didn't need it.
I mean,
that.
Was it necessary?
Well, hold on.
Did it have anything to do with the topic at hand?
I thought he was adding context to his feelings.
Hey, no, we're not making funny. I just
not sure
felt like that was not what we needed.
I want to defend Dan.
We love you, Dan.
We
are all inclusive.
Every caller here gives us a lot of information about them, what they're doing, who they're with.
I just wasn't prepared to hear that.
I know. But so Dan gave us his backstory. Now, is it that different than Aaron in San Diego's backstory about every little thing he does?
I don't think Aaron said
he
was
in jail. Yeah, but
nobody
wants Aaron's backstory.
No, I know.
I mean, I've been to jail, too, but I don't tell everybody.
I wasn't trying to assert that Aaron in San Diego has been to prison. I meant, like,
no, but I'm just
callers
saying.
Tell us a lot about themselves and their background and what they're doing. That caller, Dan, just happened to let us know that he spent some time in the joint. That's
but
all.
Let's be honest. When Dan said that, it changed the temperature in the room.
Yeah, it did.
It was
all I could think about, as you can see.
Yeah, because now you wonder.
The temperature was really changed by the guilty drop. No. I mean, let's be real.
It did. Now you're wondering, well, damn.
What
did Dan go to jail for? Like,
it's kind of like
a natural progression.
It's kind of like when Aaron at San Diego said his wife was smoking hot. Yeah, like you.
And
your
Dan,
mind starts racing.
And Dan, we just want you to know we're not. We just.
Yeah,
talking,
just
man.
Just
we
yeah, poking, now we appreciate
man.
You.
We appreciate you calling, and you know what? Hey, you served your time. You're a productive member of society, so that's all that matters.
Yes, and again,
call
Kyle,
again.
That was yeah.
Yeah, please, don't let us our childishness deter you from calling.
Again, it was the drop.
There was time.
We were you and I were handling it fine until the drop.
That's why people don't like Kyle.
I don't know who you're referring to.
It was good. It was good. It was good.
Yeah, we'll just pretend that truck fired on its own. Now, let's get to Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Oh, gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
What's up, man?
Wild. I mean, that's how we're doing. What's up?
All right. Listen, man. Listen. What Sirianni is doing, he's doing the right thing. He got to have these guys, like, chimed in because, you know, everybody is coming after us this season. And he wants these guys to have that mentality. And, like I say, it's 90% mentality, right? 10% physical. And he wants these guys to be in cooperation with each other as far as knowing that everybody is gunning for us, and we're going to have to step our game up.
Why are we whispering?
Are you whispering, or is your voice hoarse?
No, because I'm about to clock out from work. But anyway.
Oh, listen, I get it.
Listen, but I'm going to say this.
Wait, I just want to know, do we have to whisper with you, or are you just the only one that's going to whisper?
Listen, all right, I'm going to say this real quick. He got everybody chimed in. He got everybody on point because, like I said, everybody is coming for us because we are the Super Bowl champs, and he got to have everybody ready, you know. But I'm about to clock out. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, have a good day, man.
Well, we appreciate it.
We'll get you a nice little adult beverage.
Yeah. Nice that was a pretty remarkable back-to-back calls there with back the guilty drop and then Will whispering his phone call.
Is he about to get off of work?
Yeah. Whenever someone's whispering, I feel like I have to whisper too. Otherwise, it's weird.
It just feels appropriate for no reason.
I was considering giving him the Rocky music just to see where he would take it.
It would drown him out, though.
Yeah, he'd probably have
it. Or he would rise to the music like he's been doing.
No, he'd have had a rough one trying to make that.
Well, I don't want him to get in trouble at work. I really do appreciate people that spend.
No, I don't mind.
That are on the job getting paid and they call us.
Is it on the clock?
On the clock. And I think our show, of all the shows, probably has the most of that. But just generally.
Yeah, because of our time.
Yeah, right. Like the morning show. They probably have a lot of their calls that are driving to work or getting ready for work. Afternoon show, the opposite, leaving work and all that. We're on 10 at 2. That's for a lot of people, that's prime work time.
Speaking of driving, man, since we're here.
Uh-oh.
It's a lady this morning that was on her way to the neighbor yard.
You got beep?
If
you got
she's
beep?
Listening, you need to learn how to drive. And she was driving a white Jeep.
Oh, no.
And she,
don't put the license plate out there.
No, I don't know a license plate, but she was driving a white Jeep, Joe. And she, like, I drive a big truck, and she, like, you know how you're trying to get over? She forcefully got over, right? So I let her go. So then she gets in my lane. Then she jumps into the other lane. Mm. And so you know how going across the bridge, you know how going by the airport, you know, I forgot the name of the bridge to the side. But I'm getting ready to come to the stadium, and she decides that she's in the wrong lane, right? So then she decides to muscle me out of the lane. Like I'm in front of her, and the space is really tight.
You got bullied by a white Jeep?
Yeah, and a lady, and it wasn't nothing I could say because you know she's a little lady, and when I looked at her, I'm like, lady, are you serious? And she just kept driving. But you need to drive. Your husband would be mad at you or your significant other because that was ridiculous. If I didn't see you, we'd have had an accident. If I didn't see her because you didn't make the right decision, it would have been an accident.
Well,
so
I'm
just
glad
do better.
You saw her. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, just do better.
And now she was called out on WIP.
Yeah, she was. She works at the neighbor yard, drives a white little Jeep. Stop it. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, being a little bully.
Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Kyle, Joe, you and the crew, what's going on?
What's going on,
What's
man?
Up, Bruce?
Man, I'm down here in sunny Georgia, man, getting the last weekend with the grandkids, you know, before they start school. So I'm actually working too, but I'm playing fun police this week.
Oh, that's a great job, Bruce. Enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Joe, man, I see, man, you in worry warp mode.
No, not worried. Man. I'm just trying to get everyone on the right page here. No one's worried. Right page.
I understand what you're saying, but I think here's the nuance with them, you know, and where they're going. Because a lot of them, what's amazing about them is that they took the time out and enjoyed themselves after the parade, but then they were ready to go back to work. And, you know, AJ, you know, had some things on social media about that as well as the rest of them. I think that they're in the right place because Kyle kind of stole my thunder and saying the same thing. You know, I'll just say it again. It's I think that approach is keeping them focused, because you know you had MJ and you had Brady that used to keep, you know, come up with narratives to keep themselves focused on being great. And I think that's where that narrative takes is, it says, hey, you've accomplished this, but look, forget about it. It's all about staying focused on the future. And I think that those guys are going to do some great things, because I think we're going to see some things that we haven't seen before. We're going to see a much more dynamic offense. And the defense is, you know, there's some questionable things about where they are. I mean, because of the turnovers, but I think that we're going to do some outstanding things this year.
Well, they should. I mean, and I think the offense could be better than it was last year. Bruce appreciated it. I mean, it could be better in terms of the passing game, the running game. You know, obviously it's going to be tough to top what they did last year. One thing quickly, Devin is now the second person, right? Elliot, who was with us, you know, a lot of our camp so far, and now Devin, after watching practice, they're both observing the same thing. Well, that secondary and the spots that they lost veterans at, right? The safety position feels to me like, and even when we had Reed, I mean, he seemed to be expressed confidence in his teammates, but he even let us hear that they're rotating, right? That he doesn't seem.
There's no continuity yet.
Right. He didn't strike me as saying, well, Sydney's playing really well, or I've lined up a lot next to Andrew Makuba, right, who's now banged up. It feels like he even acknowledged every time he looks over, there's a different safety next to him.
Well, I think that they're trying to figure out. I think this is how I look at it, and I haven't – there's a lot of practice people that I don't see. But just listening to what's being said and how they're doing things, I think this is their plan. I think in a pinch, Cooper DeJean is going to be the safety in a pinch. Now, they're looking for other guys that potentially could step up. They got time. I feel like when Elliot made the remark that the safety's not on the roster.
He's saying they have to trade for one, basically, or sign one.
That might be true. But right now, I think that they're feeling like, okay, we know in a pinch we could put Cooper back here. Let's see who else steps up.
So you might be right, and they do have, what, 30?
You got time. You got time to figure it out.
37 days till the opener. I just want to point out, though, time. Think about the quarterbacks and receivers the first month of the season we're going to see. Week one, Dak with CeeDee and George Pickens. Week two, Mahomes, enough said.
Mm-hmm.
Week three, Stafford, if he's healthy, he's got a back issue right now. But Stafford with Puka Nacua and Davante Adams.
Yeah.
Week four, Baker Mayfield with Mike Evans and a first-round pick. These teams can throw the football like that.
So, and they're probably going to try, especially if they know that you are in a situation where you're still trying to figure that position out. But I will say this. The one thing that I like about this team so far, they're thin at the safety spot, but they're pretty smart. And what I heard yesterday was the reason why the defense is always ahead of the offense. I'm going to say that first. But the guys up front put a lot of pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, well, that can certainly mask some things at the back end. All right, 215-592-9494. We're back to the phone lines on all this coming up. Do you wish the Eagles just embrace who they are? That they're defending Super Bowl champions. Plus, very interesting comment from Jim Salisbury on the morning show on what some Phillies veterans think about the upcoming trade. You're not going to want to miss this. 215-592-9494. Midday show live from the NovaCare Complex for Eagles training camp on Sports Radio 94 WIP.